MZTV.
I'm not picking on Johnny Green. It's just that an actual Judaizer, someone who listens to Paul broadcasts, listens to Grace of God broadcasts, listens to God Loves You No Matter What and You're Perfect in His Sight broadcasts, and then counters that beauty and glory, counters it with videos trying to talk people out of it, trying to get them back to self-analysis and to force them to repent of sins that God is no longer taking account of. Why, that person can be called none other than a Judaizer. But then this particular Judaizer, Johnny Green, is the only one I really know of that actually started a show, a video show. And so he's like a giant target. Wow, we're like I've been saying, like we caught one in the wild. We didn't catch him, but we're able to watch him in the wild in his natural habitat and analyze it. And I'm telling you, the more you analyze it, the worse it gets. And I'm almost tempted to ask you to take all small children out of the room, because this is terrible. Really bad stuff coming up today here on MZTV. Thanks for joining me. I am Martin Zender, your host. And it's good to do this. We must do this. My job is to expose, rebuke, and entreat. I have to expose, and like I always say, evangelism, effective evangelism is two-thirds negative. Two-thirds negative. Expose and rebuke are both negative. The entreaty is the only positive thing, the only positive part of true evangelism, effective evangelism. I want to be effective. I want to make the best use of my time here. But you can't really entreat unless you destroy what's wrong. So many people have wrong ideas in their head. And I'm telling you, Paul experienced this, that this mixing of law and grace is so seductive. And it doesn't take much to talk you into doubting your calling, doubting that God really looks upon you as righteous. And this is what the whole armor of God is for, to protect you from Satan's lies. And just as God dispenses his truth through messengers, Satan dispenses his lies through human messengers. And Johnny Green is one of the messengers who is dispensing lies of Satan. And again, I say, if he would only just stay in his lane, stay in the Jewish gospel, the circumcision gospel, leave Paul out of it. But when you make a video that I've been critiquing, when you have a Paul verse at the beginning and a Paul verse at the end and nice piano music, it's like so seductive. And Paul says in Galatians 3:1, who bewitches you? Today's broadcast, we are going to learn, well, let's review what we learned yesterday. You are not now righteous in any way, shape, or form. Johnny says you're on the road to becoming righteous if you do what he says. And today we're going to learn through a further analysis, but listening to Johnny's own words, I won't be able to be accused of taking the man out of context. We're going to learn is that faith is not enough. Paul says by faith alone. Johnny Green says no. If you think you can just believe and have faith and that's the end of the game, you can just sit back and relax. No, no, no. Faith is not enough. This is a message of James, who says that faith cannot save you. Faith alone cannot save you. This is the message of Johnny Green. That's a circumcision message. And this is why I say, stay in your lane, teach James, teach Hebrews a certain fearful waiting for judgment. Teach fear, teach judgment, which he does. Johnny Green does teach fear and judgment. And faith is not enough. And the Holy Spirit can't work in you unless you allow it. More to come on that. But do not say that this is what Paul taught. That is when all guns, all spiritual guns are trained on you, sir. Because you really screwed the pooch when you try to add this circumcision stuff to Paul. No, no. This message is to be destroyed. I'll do my part to destroy it today, but God will obliterate it in the future. All right, let's continue on with the audio. And we're going to review what we learned yesterday, that you're not now righteous in any sense of the word. There are only two paths, according to Mr. Green.
There's only two gates to go through.
Two gates.
There's only one of two paths that you walk upon on this earth. You are either on the path to righteousness toward God.
Again, the path to righteousness toward God. In no sense are you there, according to Johnny Green. But of course, we know the truth that we are now reckoned righteous by God. I gave you all those verses yesterday. If you need refreshed on those, go back to yesterday's show. A great collection of verses that says we are now, at present, righteous in God's sight. It sounds good at first until you really hold it up to the light and hold it up against verses from Romans, and then you see that it is a big fat lie.
There's only one of two paths that you walk upon on this earth. You are either on the path to righteousness toward God, which not many are on because they want to...
Okay, why are not many on it? Because they want to what? Here we go.
Love God. They want to accept God. They want to believe, but they don't want to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform their lives.
They want to accept God. They want to love God. They want to believe. And he's talking about us because he's criticizing us. And we're the people who think that just loving God, I mean, we want to love God. We want to accept God. We want to believe, but we're lacking one thing. And what is that, Johnny?
But they don't want to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform their lives.
We don't want to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. And because of that, we're on the wide path to destruction. They want to believe. They want to love God. But what Johnny is saying here is that that is not enough because we don't. Let's listen to the man again.
They want to love God. They want to accept God. They want to believe, but they don't want to allow the power of the Holy Spirit.
They want to believe, but. So in this dissertation, Johnny is saying basically that belief is not enough. Loving God is not enough. Wanting it is not enough. This is what has to happen.
Change and transform their lives.
We have to allow the Holy Spirit to change and transform our life. Allow the Holy Spirit. How does one do that? How does one allow the Holy Spirit to transform his life? As though any of us don't want the best for our lives. As if we don't love God, and in our love and belief in God, our belief in God is in that belief, Johnny, is included the acknowledgement that God is sovereign in our lives and he can do whatever he wants to in our lives. And sometimes he gives us disciplines and sometimes he makes us weak. Sometimes we know that he put his treasure in earthen vessels so that the transcendence of the power would be of God and not of us. And we may strain and strain against a vessel that is earthen, against a vessel that is cracked. And that may include a vessel that is not as good as we want it to be. But that is God's business, not ours. And as though we have the power to allow the Holy Spirit to do something. By saying that, it stands to reason that we also have the power to disallow the Holy Spirit. And according to you, we don't want to allow the Holy Spirit. Or I don't even know how you would do that. What, everybody look down at their belly button and talk to the Holy Spirit and say, "Dear Holy Spirit, I allow you. I allow you. I give you the power." What is this, Johnny? Do we need a ceremony to allow the Holy Spirit? They don't want to allow the Holy Spirit. This is what he says. They don't want to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform their lives. They don't want to. What do you mean we don't want to? Our whole life is dedicated to God. It's like, God, do with us what you will. Well, what are we supposed to do the rest of the day then? Talk to the Holy Spirit. I told you that you have my permission. You have my permission. You have my permission. Johnny, this is crazy. How many times do you have to say that? I mean, to me, you really don't have to say it at all, because the Holy Spirit in you does the work. You don't have to say it at all. But I would think once would be enough for the Holy Spirit to go, okay, he wants me to rule his life. Why do I need to say that to the Holy Spirit over and over again? As if the Holy Spirit needs my permission to begin with. I mean, the whole point is stupid, but allowing it for a second, how does that even look? And let me ask you, the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, did he allow the Holy Spirit to transform his life? No, he did not. God is not a gentleman. You're talking like a Christian here. And you are a Christian. You're not a member of the body of Christ because you're talking like this. This is baby talk. This is flesh talk. You're challenging people to do something. You're challenging people who are already free. You're challenging people in whom the Holy Spirit of God is already operating. And in order to do what you think we should do, we have to come down from this lofty spiritual perch of knowing that the Spirit of God is in us, knowing that the Spirit of God is working in our lives as we sleep, while we sleep, while we work, while we eat. It's a constant activity of God within us. As Paul said, the Holy Spirit makes intercession with inarticulate groanings that is operating in our life. And yet you tell us that we have to allow the Holy Spirit. This is so primitive to us, to our ears. It's like we're in a spiritual college and you want us to come back to kindergarten. You need to allow the Holy Spirit. Like, what? We have an advanced degree in whatever God has been doing in our lives since the day we believed in God by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that caused us to believe in God. That's how we know the Holy Spirit is in us. And the Holy Spirit is working in us in spite of us. And you want to drag us back to kindergarten and tell us that unless you allow the Holy Spirit to work in there, that's your whole problem, people. You people just think you can believe. You want to love God. They want to love God. He says they want to believe. But they don't. What they don't want to do, according to you. They don't want, according to you. People like me. People like those who are watching this show now. We don't want to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform our lives. You have just tore down the true gospel and reconstructed it, and you have made an act of God into a human work. This is one of the stages I talked about last night. It is demolition followed by reconstruction of the evangel. It's destruction of what we know to be true, deconstruct, destroying it, and then reconstructing it into a false system, a false belief system. And what Johnny has done here is he has taken an act of God and made it into a human act. Our apostle was stopped dead in his tracks by the Holy Spirit of God. He didn't allow anything. We don't allow anything. The Spirit of God works, as I said, in spite of us. And there's an interplay within us. Good happens to us and evil happens to us. And we respond well to some stimuli. We respond poorly to other stimuli. And this is according to the Spirit of God, how the Spirit of God is working in us. The Spirit of God is working in us, Johnny, at God's pace, not our pace. You are disappointed because you are comparing yourself to other people. You see yourself as some paragon of morality. And you're challenging people who you don't think are as good as you. But how dare you anyway? Because you don't even know what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives. You don't know what the Spirit of God is doing in me. How do you know? What a terrible assumption to make. They don't want the Spirit of God. They don't want to allow the Spirit of God to act in their lives. And that phrase, allow the Spirit to transform your life, that is deceiver speak. That is Judaizer speak for start behaving yourself by acts of willpower. That's what you really mean. This is a Christian construct, this phrase, allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life. That is bullshit, complete and total bullshit. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life. Okay, Holy Spirit, transform my life. And the Holy Spirit goes, oh, finally, this guy finally articulated what he wants. I'm glad. What kind of cartoon world are you asking us to enter into? You're acting like the Holy Spirit is some dog we can train. Here, boy. Sit. Heal. Speak. Play dead. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life. How the hell do you know that that's not happening? How dare you assume that we, members of the body of Christ, do not lead spirit-filled lives? Because maybe you've overcome something that we haven't, because you stopped smoking, but some of us haven't. Is that what this is all about? You stopped drinking, and some of us haven't. Is that what this is all about? What is this all about? Why are you so arrogant all of a sudden? Why are you on this holy roller thing to reform people? What are we not doing that you wish we would do? And don't say, allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life. That's Christian speak. That's deceiver speak. That's Judaizer speak. That means that is a Christian phrase that is so presumptuous of you. What exactly is it that you want us to do? Make a list of sins that we have to stop. Stop drinking? First, you have to show me where drinking is a sin. Stop smoking? First, you have to show me that smoking is a sin. Show me in Scripture. Stop looking at dirty pictures. You have to show me where that's a sin. What do you want us to do, Johnny? Make a video. Here are the things I want people to stop doing, which will prove to me that they're finally allowing the Holy Spirit to change and transform their lives. Make that video. Give us specifics of what amounts to you, what adds up to you to a life that has been given to God.
God. They want to accept God. They want to believe, but they don't want to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform their lives.
What the hell are you talking about? Love and belief. It's not enough. We have to do a ceremony with the Holy Spirit now. We have to treat the Holy Spirit like a dog that does tricks. What? You're making these videos, mocking us, challenging us, bringing us from college graduate spirit activities to play school, where the Holy Spirit is a pet inside of us that does tricks when we tell it to.
They just want to stay complacent and comfortable walking down that wide path.
We want to stay complacent and comfortable. That's the reason why we want to stay complacent and comfortable. I'm sorry. No matter how comfortable we all want to be, and who doesn't want to be comfortable? God runs our lives, not us. And he puts us in situations that are very uncomfortable. He has put me in a situation with my health that I don't like. And it's extremely uncomfortable in every way. So no matter how much I might want to be comfortable, my desire to be comfortable. You don't desire the same thing, Johnny? You purposely run your own life, or teach the Holy Spirit to allow the Holy Spirit to make you uncomfortable? Who doesn't want to be comfortable? But who in the world has the power to make their life one endless bed of comfort? It's ridiculous. You have no idea what different members of the body of Christ are going through. Everybody has their trials. And yet you think that people who are trying their best to make a good life, to find comfort, find some comfortable corner in this world, you think that that's the wide path leading to death? You're becoming a sick person.
They don't want to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change and transform their lives. They just want to stay complacent and comfortable walking down that wide path that leads to death.
Oh, yes. We want to be on that path that leads to death because we know that any comfort automatically leads to death. And what might look like complacency to you, and you don't know anything about any of us, what might look like complacency to you might be a person struggling to keep it together. What do you want? Again, make a video. Tell us what you're looking for. Do you want us to stand on our heads? Do you want us to cut ourselves? Do you want us to climb a 14,000-foot mountain to try to find illumination, you know, naked and without supplemental oxygen? It's like, what exactly will satisfy you? How much discomfort do you want us to be in? And how dare you assume that someone who is sitting and learning about God is complacent? How many YouTube videos do I have to watch in a day for you to label me as complacent? I could sit here and tell you how hard I work or how hard I run, but I'm not even going to try to justify myself. I mean, I literally run. It's not comfortable. I try to lead a disciplined life. And I do lead a disciplined life. You can't not lead a disciplined life and write 19 books and record over 3,000 videos. But I am not even going to begin to attempt to justify my life to you because I don't have to. All I know is that you're shaming people who only believe and only love God. But to you, that's not enough. Oh, they want to believe. They want to love God, but they're not willing to let the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to change and transform their lives. Why? Because they just want to be comfortable. Jesus, find one of us that's comfortable. Which one of us is comfortable? I want names. You name me one member of the body of Christ that you're criticizing who is freaking comfortable. And I'm not even saying they're not trying to be comfortable. We're all trying to be as comfortable as we can. But to you, comfort is evidence that someone is on the wide path leading to death. What are you becoming, Johnny Green? Okay, you're a big guy. So, I mean, how many push-ups do we have to do? I'm being dead serious. How many push-ups do we need to do? Is this like a Lent thing that the Catholics, that we have to give up certain pleasures? What should we give up? Should we give up masturbating? Should we give up eating chocolate? Should we give up our favorite television show? Should we give up coffee? What should we do so that you could finally label us active and take us off the complacent list? And cause you to think well of us. That, well, I guess these people are finally uncomfortable enough for my satisfaction. They're finally uncomfortable enough. So that's evidence to me that they've allowed the Spirit of God to transform their lives. And what is that line that we cross that proves a life transformed? What is it? I know what it is to you. It's giving up a bad habit. All this talk, all this pseudo-spiritual talk is deceiver speak, it's Judaizer speak for start behaving yourself by acts of willpower. That's what you're doing. And you're calling it allowing the Holy Spirit to transform your life. Dude, the Holy Spirit has been in our lives, most of us for years, some of us for decades. And it is transforming our lives. It is transforming our lives at the pace God wants our lives transformed. And we're not in freaking charge of it. You need to understand that. We don't treat the Holy Spirit like a trick dog or trick pony that we can order around and it is waiting for us to allow it to work. It's been working in us for years, building us up and tearing us down and building us up again, as God wills. And we have been in this school of hard knocks for decades. And now you come along criticizing us because we're not meeting some arbitrary standard that you have set for us and that you won't even tell us what it is. Disgusting. Embarrassing. You're going to be embarrassed of this video. I'm not done yet. I'm going to have to do a third part. I didn't think I was going to, but I looking at my time. There's worse things coming up tomorrow. Worse, ladies and gentlemen, worse. This is an expose. This is what Christianity has tried to do for us for years. Shame us. Johnny is out to shame members of the body of Christ because he has no understanding of how the Spirit of God is working in each of our lives. He has no understanding that what he considers to be complacency and what he considers to be, oh, these people are so comfortable. You know what that is? If you see it at all and that you think it's complacency, you're too complacent, you're too comfortable. You know what that really is, Johnny? It's peace. It's peace, man. And it's joy that grace covers us. And that we are no longer reckoned by God to be sinners, but we're reckoned to be righteous. To you, I guess that looks like complacency. To you, I guess that looks like we're the most comfortable people in the world. Well, if that's how one measures comfort and someone who's complacent, that is a recognition of the grace of God and that the cross of Christ is sufficient and that God is in control of our lives, then we are guilty as charged.